Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Wednesday morning, the 26th of August 2020. Not as much live sport happening overnight. Couple little things floating around. We'll update you on those and all the news from what's happened on the domestic front as well. We'll start with the footy from yesterday. Never thought I'd say this. Queensland were pretty happy yesterday. Here's their Premier, Anastasia Palaszczuk, on their grand final bid.
These are very, very early days. We've hosted over 50 games to date. By the end of the season, it'll be over 80. The sport is growing in Queensland. It's up 30%. We can put on world-class events. We have put on the Commonwealth Games.
Meanwhile, a huge night tonight in the world of boxing in Australia with Horn v. Zhu. It's been a much-anticipated fight. And yesterday, Jeff Horn was feeling good.
I'm feeling good. It's probably the easiest I've ever made it, actually. So I'm feeling nice and comfortable.
Interesting weigh in yesterday. We'll get a bit more reaction from the trainer of Jeff Horn, Glenn Rushton, who accused the judges of having a bias. So it was all happening, as it always does, before a big fight. Lots to get through as well with the latest from the NRL situation as well with Anthony Seibold up there at the Broncos. We'll tell you what happened with that next on The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, after 6 this morning, looking forward to The Breakfast Club. Half and Whitey to guide you through your Wednesday. Remy Gardner will join us. Very much looking forward to hearing from the son of Wayne Gardner, who's now doing his own thing in Moto 2. So looking forward to hearing from him at the early mail before 7 o'clock as well, as we try and get your winner, Sherelle McMahon, to join the guys after 7 in Nankervis. We'll be part of the RSN Legend Series today. The Geelong legend, Cameron White, former Australian cricketer, will join us too. Paul Lapham with a preview of the Horn Zhu fight tonight. Isaac Smith from the Inner Sanctum of the Hawks. And Tom Rockliffe, Port Adelaide midfielder, also to jump on. Don't forget, after 8:30, Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate. And from 10:30, RSN Central with Gareth Hall. It's going to be a big Wednesday morning on RSN. We'll have it all covered for you here, so you don't have to move that dial. Let's start with the footy from yesterday. Some big news off the field, which we'll get to in just a second. But Tony Cochran yesterday from the Gold Coast Suns was part of the Queensland Grand Final bid, and he's never got a bad word to say about footy in Queensland.
It's one of my great sayings in life, and I sort of live by it. Never waste a crisis. We've indeed taken a crisis and turned it to our advantage here on the Gold Coast, and I'm really proud of my city for that. I'm really proud that we've been able to deliver that for the rest of Australia. Clearly hoping that we get to a complete the full season, and hopefully it'll be up here in Queensland, but that's in the lap of the gods.
Yeah, that will be very interesting. We'll hopefully get a resolution, as Mark Stevens said on RSN Central yesterday, within the next week. So the AFL hopefully will make an announcement on that. The other news that came through late last night was the fact that a man has been arrested by Victoria Police following alleged extreme threats that compromised the safety of Dylan Grimes and his family after last week's game against Essendon in the top end. It's a really concerning situation that's become all too common, as we've seen Callum Ward receiving death threats a couple of weeks ago. And the online abuse is something that the AFL and the AFLPA continue to call out. There has been, unfortunately, some racial abuse towards a number of players as well, but a fan actually arrested by Victoria Police last night over these threats to Dylan Grimes and his family. So we'll wait to see what happens there once the matter heads to court, but hopefully some accountability for a few of those people who don't mind getting behind a keyboard with a fair bit of anonymity, unfortunately, but not on this occasion. So I'm sure I'll have more on that through the morning. Let's head to a few matters on the field. We'll start with Patrick Dangerfield yesterday. He actually addressed the matter of social media. We'll hear what he had to say on that.
Yeah, it's a really challenging one because often the people that are abusing are, you know, ghost accounts. There's no accountability there. Clearly, as a player that has a profile, and all players have a profile within social media, you know, you're accessible. So I know there's players that have removed themselves from that environment, But at the same time, it's also a great way to connect with fans, to interact. So I think most of the time players are in it because of that reason, because they can connect with Western Australian fans if you're a Geelong supporter or Queensland or South Australia or wherever it might be. Unfortunately, what it does also is open up the door to the negative comments that flow. And what we've got to make sure is that we hold those people accountable where possible. We say, you know, and we call them out that it's not okay to hide behind that curtain where no one can catch you. But it's a really difficult one. It's one, obviously, that we've been working with for a while through the AFLPA. I know the AFL are doing some work as well, but it's very difficult to trace clearly.
Patrick Dangerfield there speaking yesterday. Let's also hear what he had to say ahead of the Dogs game this week. Big game for both sides.
They're far more than just, you know, Bontempelli, McRae, the stars that they have. They've got a really deep list and they've got a real even contribution from their players at the moment. I think that's been, you know, why they've had some great exposed form over the last 2 weeks. Well, look, it feels like we're well placed. That being said, so much can change over the course of the next 4 weeks. So we've got to make sure that we really remain resilient to our own form. We don't get ahead of ourselves. We continue the process rather than just looking at the outcome. You know, we're in some form at the moment. The challenge is to maintain the momentum and ride it rather than expect it to dip at any stage.
Let's head to the Dogs side of the coin. They face the Cats on Friday night. Yesterday, Josh Dunkley speaking about the massive fortnight coming up for them. They've got Geelong on Friday and then a bit of a break until West Coast the following Saturday.
I think, you know, you've got to be excited by the opportunity over the next couple of weeks to play against the likes of Geelong and West Coast and then obviously Hawthorn and Freo as well. So all sides are really good. And, you know, if we're off our game a little bit, any side will beat us. So it's important that we really put our best foot forward going forward and, get some wins on the board and hopefully make finals. You know, we haven't been there for the four quarters, I think, against the top sides. And I think the Port Adelaide game and the Brisbane game were off for, I think, the third quarter against Port and then the second quarter against Brisbane, where we just, you know, went away from what we know helps us play our best footy. So in terms of going forward, we're going to have to play four quarters of footy against, you know, Geelong. Yeah, they're a mature side that we're going to have to play some really good footy against to get the win for sure. Comes back to training well throughout the week and really diving into what we know is going to help us play good footy. Obviously, got some really good players, like you mentioned, and we're going to have to try and negate them and you know, use it on our side of the ball and hopefully get the ball moving forward and our way into the forward 50. We're actually pretty lucky with our schedule. So we're not playing too many 4-day breaks or 5-day breaks or anything like that. So I think we've got a couple of 7 days and maybe even a 6-day or a 9-day as well. So we're pretty lucky. It's going to be a little bit more normal for us. But recovery is really important. And we've been using a recovery centre, which has been great down the road and they've really looked after us. So yeah, the body's feeling pretty good and I'm sure the rest of the group could admit to that too.
More footage to come later in the breakfast bite. Let's head to the NRL world now, where a lot of the drama has surrounded Anthony Seibold and his exit from the Broncos. Not that it's been officially confirmed by the club yet, but they are set to announce it this morning. He will address the players and then front the media. Fascinating press conference that will be. Let's hear from Dean Ritchie from the Daily Telegraph speaking on Fox Sports last night as to what has been agreed in yesterday's marathon meeting between Seibold and the Broncos.
I understand that Carl Morris, the Broncos chairman, worked out some sort of termination deal with Seibold late last week. He's on about $700,000 a year. So exact figures, of course, are being kept confidential. But I'm with you guys. It's been a long, ugly, drawn-out, draining process for the past 3 months. And I think everybody involved is glad it's now over. And even that includes Anthony Seibold. It was a fairly handy payout. I heard you say before, Spud, that you can blame the players. I think everyone has to shoulder some sort of blame here. You know, the board, the CEO, the coaching staff, the coach, the players. Everyone has to take some responsibility. I did hear Darius Boyd interviewed on television last night. He didn't exactly give Anthony Seibold a glowing recommendation or a desire for Anthony to return. So it did sound like there was a bit of friction there between those two people. But look, the Seibold experiment has been an out-and-out disaster. And I guess as much as it pains for me to say, guys, it just shows you what a massive club the Broncos are. And Wayne Bennett's been the only one up there. Anthony Griffin didn't quite work out. Ivan Henjak. And now Anthony Seibold. It's only really been Wayne Bennett that's been able to corral and contain the massive perimeters that come when you're coaching the Brisbane Broncos.
Let's stick with the NRL. We'll hear from the Broncos legend here, Justin Hodges, only recently retired, still does bits and pieces with the club. He says the players need to regroup as much as possible over the next 24 hours.
Yeah, when you lose a head coach, especially through halfway or beyond halfway through the competition, but look, the players, they've got to, cop it on the chin, I guess, and, put a good performance in this week. At the end of the day, you can't control what happens with coaches and obviously players, but the one thing you can control is your own performance, and that's something the players are really got to own. They've got to put their hand up and put a really good performance, and not just for themselves, but for every Broncos fan out there, for all the sponsors and obviously all the loyal members that we've had. There's no way out of it, so... obviously, the coach is gone, so the players now got to take ownership of that, Matty, and really put their hand up and go out and put a good performance in.
To the world of boxing, it is going to be a massive night in Australian boxing. Horn v Zoo, the much-anticipated affair finally taking place later on tonight. It'll probably end up being around 9:30, 10 o'clock start time. Let's hear from Glenn Rushton. A little bit of controversy. Yes, they wasn't happy with one of the judges that was named for the fight.
Tim is training at the gymnasium owned by Chris Condon. He's one of the judges, and he was in the corner with Costa Zoo in his corner. He was a corner man, so we were aware of that relationship, which I wasn't completely comfortable with, that relationship, of course. But I thought, well, one out of three isn't the end of the world. But, when I heard about the second judge saying to people that he believed Tim would win the fight, that concerned me. I don't like judges going into a fight with a preconceived view of the outcome of the fight.
Jeff Ord's trainer there, Glenn Rushton. Always plenty of controversy and drama heading into big fights. It should be a massive night tonight in Queensland. Everything's happening in Queensland at the moment. Just to update you on the odds as well, Jeff Horn is in the head-to-head. $4.75 Jeff Horn is paying to win by technical knockout or knockout, and then Tim Zhu is paying $2.75 by KO or TKO. The draw $17. So it will be interesting to see how that falls a little later on tonight. All the latest odds, of course, at tab.com.au. They've got plenty of markets in terms of the individual rounds as well. Time for a break on the Breakfast Bite here at 5:45. On the other side of this, we'll update you on some massive news. We thought this might be happening, but it has been confirmed in the World Game on the other side of this.
This is the Breakfast Bite.
Oh, what can the Giants do here? They've got to go long. Can Caitlin Bassett be the hero that the Giants so desperately need? It's a contact call. Caitlin Bassett can win the game for the Giants, and she does.
How about that for a finish? The Giants last night, 66. The Firebirds, 65. Caitlin Bassett firing them to a win. Meanwhile, in the earlier game, the Magpies continue their struggles. They went down to the Fever, 71-57 in Suncorp Super Netball. Couple more games to come tonight. The Swifts take on the Lightning and the Thunderbirds play the Vixens. Let's head to the world of cricket now. This was a very special moment for Jimmy Anderson.
That's the wicket, and the expression changes immediately. Number 600 for Jimmy Anderson.
What a fantastic moment for Jimmy Anderson. All smiles now. It's been a long and frustrating wait between wickets 598 to 600. But he's got there now. A bit of extra bounce, a bit of zip off the pitch. Safe hands of Joe Root. There's nobody in to take the applause as Jimmy Anderson holds the ball high, but there'll be many watching on TV.
So a nice day for Jimmy Anderson. It finished in a draw, not unexpectedly. England 8 for 583. There's a little bit more rain yesterday. It's been a very wet summer over there in England. Pakistan made 273 and 4 for 187 as the captains came together and said, thank you very much, that'll do it. Let's go inside for a beer. So England winning that test series. Jimmy Anderson going up to 600 wickets. An amazing achievement. Matai Muralitharan leads the way at 800 wickets. Shane Warne, 708. And Anil Kumble has 619. So I'm sure Jimmy has Anil Kumble in his sights, the Indian spinner. Let's hear from Anderson after what was a very special day for not only him, but English cricket.
I was just hoping and praying that it stuck, to be honest. Been a frustrating couple of days. With slip catches. Bit of surprise they actually found the edge on a flat wicket with an old ball. But just, yeah, delighted that it's the catch stuck. And, really, I don't really know how to describe it. It was felt a little bit emotional out there. Very proud and happy that I could celebrate it with my good mates.
600 wickets for any bowler, let alone a seam bowler at test level, is a phenomenal achievement. You'll be aware of the Fred Truman quote all those years ago. When you've seen the montage and you've got the memories of that first wicket against Zimbabwe way back in 2003, is there any one thing that springs to mind, or is it almost overwhelming?
Well, the first thing that springs to mind is how bad my haircuts were over the years. It's just inexcusable, really, and I'm a bit disappointed with that. But to be honest, I'm just delighted that I've managed to play for as long as I have and enjoy some success with playing the sport I love, really, and doing what I love. I've worked really hard on my skills over the years, and I'm fortunate enough that I get to do it at the top level, playing for my country. And I just feel very fortunate and privileged that I've been able to do that for a long period of time. And as I said, looking back, that first test, I never thought I'd get anywhere near 600 test wickets. So I'm absolutely over the moon.
Fantastic achievement for Jimmy Anderson overnight. Let's head to the A-League now. Two semi-finals coming up. We will know the grand finalists after tonight's action. Big night up in Sydney, a double header. Western United will take on Melbourne City. Here's Mark Redan on tonight's match.
You can't look too much into the regular season because it's a knockout competition right now, and you prepare them the best way you can for knockout football. That's exactly what it is. So, like I said, there's learning to be made in terms of our opposition and how they play, but this is a completely different game altogether.
So Melbourne City taking on Western United, that to take place at 5 p.m. and then at 8 p.m. Sydney FC v Perth Glory. On the same pitch as well, the grand final to be held on Sunday in the A-League. To the NBA, a couple of results yesterday, including the Lakers, who were fired home by LeBron, 135 to 115 over the Trailblazers. They now lead that series 3-1.
The intensity level, body language.
Oh, no.
Pull up. LeBron.
No.
He's got it from deep.
No.
Timeout, Portland.
Look at JaVale and Danny Green.
They're measuring it out.
He was outstanding yesterday, LeBron James. So the Lakers lead the Trailblazers 3-1 in their series. A couple of the other matches yesterday, the Bucks 121 and the Magic 106. They lead that series 3-1. The series between the Thunder and the Rockets is tied at 2-2, 117 to 114 yesterday, OKC over the Rockets. And the Heat, Miami, closed out their series over the Pacers 99 to 87. They win that series 4-0. Couple more games to come today. The Jazz take on the Nuggets. The Mavericks play the Clippers. And then the next set of games is due to take place tomorrow. Just before we get back to Patrick Dangerfield with a bit of news on Joel Selwood and Gary Ablett, a few of the tennis scores that are rolling in from the Cincinnati Masters, which has been moved to New York ahead of the US Open, which is due to start next week. A couple of live scores. Naomi Osaka is currently one set to love up against Yastremska. 6-3, she won the first set. Currently Lovell in at the second. Sabalenka went down to Pegula the number five seed, so a bit of an upset there. And then all the others in terms of higher seeds getting through so far this morning. Live scores from the men's side of things. Novak Djokovic leads 2-0 over Tennis Sangren in the first set there in the men's side of things. Medvedev beat Bedin a little earlier, 6-3, 6-3, the number three seed. David Goffin is a high seed casualty. He lost in three sets to Struff, 6-4, 3-6, 6-4. Later on this morning, John Isner to take on Stefanos Tsitsipas in a clash of a couple of the big guns there over in New York, all in the build-up to the US Open, which will start next week. The first major of the year since the Australian Open. Jeez, that seems like a long time ago. Let's head back to the footy. Here's Patrick Dangerfield talking about Gary Ablett and Joel Selwood. First of all, on Selwood's injury, and then second, on Gary Ablett re-entering the hub.
He had a session yesterday and he looked really good. That being said, we've got another one tomorrow, so I'd say so, but at the same time, we're not going to risk him if he isn't quite right. He, as always, will always put his hand up, but he's a bit like a caged lion sometimes. That's up to the coaches to sort of have that conversation with him. Look, he's a pro with the way that he prepares himself and he's been doing training at home. Obviously, he's got to go through the quarantine period once he does get to Queensland, so he'll spend time with physios and do a few sessions before he's ready to ramp it right up, I think. But when the goat puts his hand up, you'll listen, I think.
So let's head to the D's now. Darren Burgess speaking about the injuries to Nathan Jones, Max Gawn and Luke Jackson. Where are they all at ahead of this week's game?
Nathan Jones just felt some quad tightness in the warm-up, and so he missed the game, as you all know. But he'll be right for this week. Didn't need scanning or anything like that. He just felt some awareness, and we thought it was better not to take the risk. Max got through his sort of match sim training yesterday. No problem, so he'll train tomorrow and be available for selection for the game against St Kilda. Luke Jackson's progressing well in his rehab and we're looking to get him back in or around the last game of the season.
So there we go. Melbourne taking on St Kilda on Saturday. Collingwood take on Carlton on Sunday. How's Brodie Miocic tracking, according to coach Nathan Buckley?
5 days before the game, you need to be clear. He wasn't able to pass that. If he's right to go, he'll play. If he's not, he'll have another week. But we'll make that, or the doctor will make that assessment. We believe we've been a club that shares the load and steps up to cover for each other as much as we possibly can. And we still believe that that's our way forward. It's not about who, it's about how. And we need to improve our how. We've got a stiff opposition in Carlton in 6 days' time. We're looking forward to that challenge.
So that is a big game, Carlton v Collingwood on Sunday. The Blues trying to keep their finals chances alive. That'll be a big preview. That'll be a big weekend of footy coming up. And we'll have it all covered for you here on RSN. Don't forget the Breakfast Club returns after 6 o'clock this morning. Half and Whitey to guide you through your Wednesday. Looking forward to Sherelle McMahon joining the gang as usual. And also, Ian Nankervis looking forward to hearing from him as part of the RSN Legends series.